my recipe for success with the product line has always been starting with education, because the more educated the providers are, the clinicians, even the end users as well, the more likely they're going to be happy with your product.
Welcome to today's episode of the Mobility Management Podcast. I'm Jack Silverstein, director of the Mobility Management Content Studio, and we are very fortunate today to be joined by Judy Rowley, the newly named Vice President of Education and Business Development at RAS Designs. Welcome, Judy, and congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Jack. Very happy to be here.
Excellent. Judy joined RAS Designs this month, July of 2026, and it's the latest chapter in her storied career. At the end of this discussion, we're going to learn about what's on tap for her at RAS, but we thought this was a great opportunity to learn much more about the history of the seating and mobility industry. Judy, if you could, give us an overview of your career, please.
Well, Jack, I started out many years ago as an occupational therapist. It was in the early 80s, actually. And I worked as a clinical OT for just a few years. And then I took an opportunity to join a local provider as a sales representative. And that's when I really started to learn about equipment is on the job. You know, we really didn't learn equipment, seating and mobility in school as an OT at all, really. So right away, I loved the field. I loved matching up, the user needs with the equipment that they needed. And I worked as a provider sales rep for about 4 years and began to work a lot with a particular line of seating that I really loved. And it was a Canadian company started out by a kinesiologist, Pat Harrison, and his wife, Judy, who was an OT. And I was working with those products. They decided, they offered me the position of being a sales rep and educator for them. So I joined SHS back in the early 90s and was with them for about 10 years. The product line grew quite a bit in Canada and in the US, as far away as Australia, New Zealand. And after 10 years, Invacare acquired that company. At that point, Invacare had just acquired a couple of other companies as well. One was PinDot, custom molded seating, and another Canadian company, and they had their own line of seating. And they made my job responsibility be the product manager for seating for North America. So at that point, I really didn't know the business side too much, and I was tasked with bringing all those product lines together and managing the seating for Invacare North America. But I had really good mentors at that time from Invacare, and I really enjoyed that role. I did that for about 7 years. Then I had three small children at home. I was doing a lot of traveling, and I decided that I wanted to stick closer to home and spend more time with my family. So I said I was retiring. Retirement lasted just a few months.
I was going to say, did it take?
Retirement didn't last too long, although I did enjoy a nice summer with my little kids at home. I was approached by some partners in Motion Concepts. And Motion Concepts at that time was doing power positioning. And Motion Concepts, they were partnered up with many other manufacturers and doing the power positioning system that went on top. Their idea was that they would like to sort of be able to provide everything that went on top. So that would include the cushions, the backs, the accessories, and so on. And they asked me if I would join them to develop a seating line. So I said, sure. but only 2 days a week because I have my kids at home and I'm retired. Well, that was 25 years ago, and that was the beginning of the Matrix seating line.
Wow. 25. That's, you know what? I gotta give it up. That's we hear this a lot here. I feel like you're truly mission driven. The idea of retiring and then working 25 years and then, and now into this, new stage. Oh man, that's great. I want to move into this history and get right here to help listeners really understand everything that you've seen, because I feel like some of it's going to come up as you go in your journey. Let's talk about the rise of clinical education leading and how that led to an evolution of the profile of the professional. What was clinical education like when you started your career, and why did it change?
Well, like I said, there was very little education in this field, you know, when I started my career. I really learned on the job, but I was so fortunate to have amazing mentors since the very beginning. All these people, companies that I've worked for and individuals that I worked for taught me so much. Right away, I loved the field. And I know you're thinking 25 years. Well, it's a lot longer than that, but I've really enjoyed every minute of it. It's not often that you're lucky enough to be able to say you have a job that's also your passion. And that's why I'm still here. I'm still doing this and starting this new role, is that I feel like I still have a lot of gas in the tank. For me, education has always been the most important thing, because the more that you can understand the needs of the end user, the clinical and functional needs, and match that up to the products that are available, you're going to have a happy customer.
Yeah, you mentioned the importance of mentorship, and that you had great mentors early on. What kind of clinical education at all? I mean, you said it was rare. What kind of clinical education at all did people enter the field with at the outset of your career? What would have been like, wow, this person's really coming in with a lot? What was normal? What would have been, oh, this person's behind?
It's really hard to say. In the early days, you learned a lot from manufacturers of products. That's who gave you the training, as they taught you about their products and why they designed them that way. There was also the beginning of organizations like Resna. Resna, you know, was in the early 80s. That organization, which provides product education and certifications, standards for all professionals, providers.
That's such a huge turning point and benchmark when an industry is having that kind of support.
Yeah. So there was key individuals that founded those organizations. And, you know, that was really at the start of my career as an OT, is that was just, that organization was just beginning. And then, you know, in the early 90s, it was organizations like NARTS, which is now iNARTS, which again was providing certification and ethics and continuing education for suppliers in the field as well. So those kind of organizations really helped change the industry and move things forward a lot. And then more and more, when I joined the provider on my first job, I think I was the second one in Canada that took on that role. But now it's very commonplace. So the changes over the years are just more and more clinicians are getting involved in the field as well. So it may be OTs, PTs, kinesiologists, people that are really learning more of those skills in their education process.
You mentioned earlier about the feedback loop and having more conversations and more communication with all these various stakeholders who are going to then help make the product, you know, even better. And that seems like a theme here about, you know, how much communication is going into the creation of all of these products. Can you give us like the timeline of when that kind of feedback loop and communication really started to pick up?
That's kind of hard to answer.
Sure.
Because it's been all these many years that I've been, you know, in this industry, and it just keeps moving forward. So it's really hard to pin down a specific date that, like I said, for me, the early 80s was ResNa, the early 90s was NARTS. Those were huge. And then a lot of it is grassroots. It's people teaching people and manufacturers getting teams of educators together to help deliver their message, and providers, you know, using more and more highly educated professionals to sell their products. My recipe for success with the product line has always been starting with education, because the more educated the providers are, the clinicians, even the end users as well, the more likely they're going to be happy with your product. And that now that there's a level of education, there's a lot of understanding now of the need for a cushion and a back and what those products do. But, you know, taking it towards RAS, there's still not a lot of education about the 24-hour postural care and the need for a properly, you know, a high-end MSCC, mobile shower commode chair.
Judy, tell us about the changes in funding and how that's evolved during your career and what impact that has had.
Yeah, so Jack, funding is always a challenge. And really the key thing, and tied back to education, is helping the funders understand the importance of possibly the higher end CRT piece of equipment versus the standard DME off the shelf type product. The more that you can educate those funders and have clinical research to support the products that you're designing, the more likely that the funding is going to come through for that piece of equipment. And, you know, it can really make a big difference in the life of the individual who's using it.
Perfect. And what about the changes, our last topic, the changes in communication and being able to speak, you know, worldwide with other providers and manufacturers, and the impact that has on the product? What is the impact of the change in global communication on the mobility and seating industry during your career?
Well, the message is sure traveling a lot faster these days. That's for sure. And, you know, us being able to do what we're doing today with a podcast or Teams and Zoom meetings and so on means that you can develop your content, and then you can really reach out and deliver that message worldwide. So that's kind of why my role is going to be education and business development, because they go hand in hand.
That's exactly what I was about to ask you. We want to hear about your move to RAS Designs, what's coming. And I wanted to start with that your title is, as you just said, Vice President of Education and Business Development. Why is it important to RAS to have a person with that title? Why that title, and what will you be doing?
So I actually invested in RAS at the very beginning because I believed in the product and the team that's there and has created the product. And at this point, I really believe that Raz has far and away the best product in the industry. They've really revolutionized this MSCC product line by, you know, really addressing things like pressure redistribution and positioning. The Raz product line is just a key piece of the 24-hour postural care. So we know, you know, we're all educated in general about wheelchair positioning. There's more awareness about bed positioning and nighttime positioning. And then the Raz product line is filling this transitional piece of the 24-hour postural care by enabling the client to be functional, comfortable, and have skin protection while they're spending the often up to hours that they spend on that piece of equipment.
Perfect. So last thing, what are you most excited about this new position? What are you looking to dive right into?
Well, right away, I want to put together an education team to deliver this message and just this product is so important. And as I said, it's already a great product. It's just we need to deliver this message. So I'm just looking to build that team that can put this content together.
I love the way that this is full circle with, you know, what you said at the beginning about having to listen to your mentors or your manufacturers. And now you get to really be the leader of this next generation of mobility education.
Yeah, it's super exciting. As I said, love the team at Raz, have supported it since the very beginning, love the product line. I have many connections in the industry that I've built over the years, and just looking to connect all of that together.
Fabulous. Well, Judy, we so appreciate you giving us your time today. Thank you for joining the Mobility Management Podcast, and we wish you all the best at Raz. We'll have to have you back in a few months and learn more about what's going on there. So thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Jack.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Mobility Management Podcast. And thank you to Judy Rowley, Vice President of Education and Business Development at Raz Designs, for joining us. I'm Jack Silverstein of Mobility Management. To hear more episodes, visit mobilitymgmt.com/podcast.